Amen. Thank you, Brother Ralph, for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 this morning. This week, of course, was the Northeast Vision Summit there in Berlin, New Jersey, and watched some of the services that were there. And during one of the songs, after one of the songs, there was one of the pastors gave a short reading of Scripture, and not really a sermon or a message per se, but just a little off-the-cuff statement that really stuck with me. And so I decided to go back here in the Revelation chapter 3 and reread this chapter for myself and pull these truths out that I thought might be a help to us here today. Revelation chapter 3, and notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 14. Revelation chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art become lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And here's the key verse we want to focus on, verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You notice that first phrase there in verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And in the second phrase, "If any man hear my voice and open the door." And open the door. For a few moments, it's more like to preach just on this thought: open the door. Open the door. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this morning. Thank you for loving us and being merciful to us. And Father, just extending your grace when we're so undeserving of it. Father, I pray this morning you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. Father, this morning may the message be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And Father, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. If there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting it settled, 100% sure that heaven's their home and that Christ is their Savior. Father, now come down and meet with us in a mighty and real way as only you can. And we'll love you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door." Now, usually when we hear this verse number 20, It is in reference and is preached dealing with and concerning salvation. And while that is certainly a one application that can be made of it, because the Lord is indeed, for those that are unsaved, He is standing at the door of their heart. He is knocking. He is desiring. He is wanting entry into a person's heart that He might come in and wash their sins with the blood of Calvary, that He might forgive them, that they might be saved. And so, yes, that is one application as to what this verse could be talking about. But when we look at it in its context of chapters 2 and 3, of course, now we realize that it is in context to a local church, the church at Laodicea. In, of course, chapters 2 and 3, you have the message of the Lord Jesus Christ through John to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Now, these seven churches that the Lord mentions here in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, they are not allegorical in nature. They are not, parabolistic in nature. They are not to get a point across. These seven churches, they were seven literal churches in seven literal different locations scattered throughout and located throughout Asia Minor. In chapter 2, of course, you had the church of Ephesus. Chapter 2, you had the church in Smyrna, in Pergamos, in Thyatira. In chapter 3, you had the church in Sardis, the church in Philadelphia, and now the church in Laodicea. Now, before we get to verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." We have to see, well, how did we get to that point in verse number 20 where the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock"? Well, the very first thing I'd like us to see is the difference in greetings. The difference in greetings. Notice there, if you would, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And unto the angel," that's the pastor of this particular church, "and unto the angel of the church," notice what it says, "of the Laodiceans write." And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, go back, if you would, chapter 2. And verse number 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write." And then skip down, verse number 8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write." Verse number 12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write." And then look, if you would, verse number 18. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write." And then chapter 3, verse number 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write." And then verse number 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write." And then, of course, we come to our text, verse number 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write." You notice the difference in greetings. The word Laodicea, the Laodiceans, means laity. And what we have here is a church that thinks itself to not be a local church, to think itself not to be a church of God. You notice it says the church of the Laodiceans. In other words, this morning, it's not God's church, but it's our church. It's not the Lord's church, it's not His way of doing things, but it's our way of doing things. And that's a huge problem. That's a huge thing that will hurt a church when we get to the point where we forget just exactly whose church it is. Yes, we attend here at Sarah First Baptist Church, but it's not our church. It's His church. It belongs to Him. He shed His blood for it. He went to the cross for it. He died for it. He paid for it. He ransomed it. It's His. It belongs to Him to do with and what He sees fit to do with it. And so the very first thing is we see the difference in greetings. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, it's not the Lord's church, it's our church, and it doesn't matter what the Lord says, it's our church, and that's the end of the story. But then we notice, these things saith the Amen. So we start to see some of Christ's names. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. We see not only Christ's names, but we see His truth. We see His witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We see right here the doctrine of Christ's eternalness. The fact that He was and always has been and always will be, that He was before time began. He was, He existed, and we see Him as Christ, Creator God. We see His omniscience, that He's all-knowing, that He knows everything. Notice there, if you would, verse number 15. The Bible says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. And you notice that phrase there, verse number 15. I know thy works. May I say this morning, just like He knew the church's works at Laodicea, He knows our works this morning. He knows our lack thereof this morning. And He says, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. And so we see the church at Laodicea, they were a half-hearted church. They were a backsliding church. They were a church that they weren't all in, but they weren't all out. They weren't all up, but they weren't all down. They were somewhere in the middle. They were somewhere in between. They were somewhere where they were just middle of the road. You know, you ever work with somebody, they weren't a great employee, but they weren't a bad employee either. They did the bare minimum to just keep their job. They showed up, and that was kind of pretty much it. Well, that's what the church at Laodicea was. They were doing just enough to hang around. Verse number 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And so we see here, they were a half-hearted church. They were a backsliding church. They were a church that they allowed formalism to creep in. They were a very formal church. They were a very, if we can put it this way, they were a very stuffy church. They were a very highbrow church. They were a very indifferent church. And he says here, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's like the thought this morning of when you have a cup of coffee. You want that coffee either what? Piping hot? Or maybe you're someone that likes iced coffee. And when you have iced coffee, you want that iced coffee as cold as it possibly can be. But what you do not want is a cup of lukewarm coffee. Because lukewarm coffee does not taste good. I don't think coffee in general tastes good, but I know from what I've had, hot coffee compared to cold coffee, compared to lukewarm coffee, I take the hot or the cold over the lukewarm coffee any day of the week. And he says here, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We see here that they are threatened with judgment. You say, well, why were they lukewarm? Why were they middle of the road? Why were they not in and out? Well, here it is, verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Here was a church. They were filled with worldly treasures. Here's a church. They were filled with worldly fullness. Here was a church, for lack of a better term, they were full of themselves. And because this morning they were filled with the earthly treasure, because they were filled with the worldly fullness, because they thought they had it all, they had become filled with spiritual pride. They had become filled with spiritual self-deception. They had become filled with spiritual destitution. They had become ignorant of self. They had become spiritually impoverished. But it says, you say, Pastor, but it says right there, they said, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. That was earthly speaking. Yes, they had maybe everything a church could possibly want, but the Lord Jesus Christ here says, you have all that, but knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Yes, you may have all the earthly treasure. You may have all the worldly fullness, but spiritually, you're empty. Spiritually, you're lacking. Spiritually, you have the greatest need in the world, and we'll see it here in a few minutes. Spiritually speaking, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He tells them the only answer is to try, that is to counsel thee to buy of me. Verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. They are spiritually blind. And so he tells them, buy of him gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Spiritually, they were naked. He tells them, anoint thine eyes with eye slave. That eye slave was a form of putty that you could put on your eyes to take away the blindness so that one may see. Because this was a church that was spiritually blind. You say, how on earth does a church become like this? How on earth does a Christian become like this? Well, it brings us to our text, verse number 20. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is Him speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Here it is. Not only was this a church that was lukewarm, a church that was indifferent, a church that was half-hearted, a church that was backslidden. Not only was this a church that was rich earthly and worldly speaking, but spiritually filled with pride and spiritually destitute. This was a church that had taken the Lord Jesus Christ and put him on the outside of the church and closed the door to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is, verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Here he is. Knocking on the door to his church. Now that would be like you owning a house and a homeless person moves in and changes the locks and keeps you out of your house. And then here you are asking to be let back in to your own house. By the way, in our major cities like Philadelphia now, they call that squatter's rights, by the way. Where now, a homeless person can move into your house, the police cannot remove them, and you actually have to go through the process of taking them to court to evict them like they were a normal tenant. Because now they have rights. So make sure you're watching your house, I guess, is the point of the story. But here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And here's the promise. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Folks, this morning, here is the encouragement, and here is the challenge. Number one, don't be lukewarm. Be all in for your Savior. Be all in for your God. Be all in for your church. By the way, something else, verse number 14 tells us, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans," right? This tells me this was a church filled with people that it was all about them. It was all about their preferences. It was all about their wants. It was all about their desires. It was all about their way or the highway. And if they didn't get it, they were going to let it be known. And if they didn't get their way, then they were just going to cause a ruckus and all the rest. Folks, that's not what a church is supposed to be. It's his church to do with as he pleases. And what he asks of us is to be all in for him. Be on fire for him. Be all in for his work. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be indifferent. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be backslidden. But not only that, secondly, don't put your value in your earthly treasure. Don't put your value in your worldly possessions. Don't put your value in what you own this side of heaven, because ultimately all that will rust away and decay. And when we go to heaven, we're not taking it with us anyway. So put your energy into something that will last. Put your energy into something that will last for eternity. Don't be filled with spiritual pride and self-deception and spiritual destitution. Don't become ignorant of self to the point that you become spiritually impoverished. And by the way, this morning you say, oh, well, I don't have much to begin with. Listen, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a whole lot more than some people have this morning. Know where your real value is. Know where your true treasure is. Know where your true possessions lie. But don't be lukewarm. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be filled with earthly and worldly possessions. Try of Him this morning. And this morning, if He's standing at the door and knocking, open the door and let Him in. Maybe this morning He's not standing at the door of our church and knocking. But maybe this morning He's standing at the heart of your door and He's knocking. And yes, maybe you've already trusted Him as your Savior and praise the Lord for that. But even after salvation, we can kind of shut Him out. Even after salvation, we can shut our heart's door and prevent Him from having His will and His way. And this morning, He's standing at the heart, at the door of your heart, and He's knocking. And He's knocking. And He's saying, let Me in. And if all you'll do is open that door, then you have the promise from the Word of God this morning that He will come into you and will sup with you, and He with you. Maybe this morning He's knocking at the door of your homes, at the door of your families. Maybe He's knocking at the door of something in your life that you just need to open the door and let Him in this morning and let Him have His will and His way. Verse 21 and 22. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with My Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This morning, He said, open the door. This morning, you have an ear? Then hear what He's saying unto you this morning. Stop putting Him off. Stop ignoring Him. Stop not paying attention to Him. Stop ignoring what He's trying so clearly to say to you this morning. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door. Folks, this morning, what door in your life is Christ knocking at? And will you open the door? Will you let Him in? Because remember, He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to be like some and, you know, after a while, he's knocking on the door, just let himself in or break in. No, he's just going to stay there, patiently knocking, waiting for you to open the door. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.